one thing that my mother always said is when there's something that's not going right, when there's bad, use it as an opportunity to move forward and not to hold you back. The Gina
Show. Oh. It's Monday.
Be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
It's Monday Mocha here on The Ginny Show, where I get to have copious amounts of mochas with wonderful people from all around the world. Pretty much an excuse for me to just drink another cup of coffee, really. Joining me today is an awesome lady. I've had the privilege of connecting with her recently. She's a licensed physical therapist, and she's an expert in integrative pelvic floor therapies. Now, I've never had a guest like that on The Ginny Show, so I'm super excited to welcome Isa Herrera. I hope I said that right.
Yes, you did. And thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here today. Super excited.
Thank you so much for joining me. I've never had anyone who's been like an international bestseller on topics around pelvic floor dysfunction, which has been something that I haven't explored before, but I'd love to talk more about it as we unpack and have coffee today, Isa. But I guess the first thing I want to ask you is you've done some pretty amazing work. You've helped over 14,000 women since 2005, which is 13 years of hard work, and that's a hell of a lot of women that you've helped. I'm wondering, you seem to have created a life that you really, really love and enjoy. Was there a time where you didn't like Mondays?
Absolutely. Up to 2 years ago, I think I dreaded Mondays because I ran a big, huge physical therapy center, healing center on Madison Avenue for 12 years. And every Monday, someone would call in sick. I used to call it Mondayitis. Every Monday, I would wake up and I would have this tight feeling in my chest. And I should have known from that feeling that what I was doing wasn't the thing that was making me happy. But, you know, sometimes you just ignore the signals that your body is telling you and you keep going and doing the same thing over and over again until you either hit a breaking point or you have to make a change. So yeah, I would say for not in the beginning of my practice, but I say towards the latter part when I realized that running the practice just wasn't bringing me the kind of happiness and the life that I wanted. So yeah. So I would say about until 2 years ago. And yeah, I didn't like Mondays.
This is interesting that you say that. Two things that you touched on there. One, that, you know, you had so many people call in sick, and it is known that Monday is a day that most sick days are taken. It's also the day that most deaths and suicides occur, if you didn't know that fact. It's mind-blowing, really. But the fact that you said that your body was telling you things that you weren't listening to, and obviously Oprah calls this the whisper before it comes into a scream. What were some of the signs that you were experiencing physically, I guess, and emotionally too, that were kind of telling you and pointing to the fact that you really didn't like this job or this environment that you were in?
You know, I think some of the signals that I got that I really wasn't in the right place was that I wasn't feeling well. You know, and my positivity, I'm a very positive person and I'm always gung-ho about everything, wasn't there. You know, I started doubting people, and I always see the good in everybody. You know, that's just the way I work. I really just focus on like the most positive goodness in individuals. But for a while, I would go to work and I would realize, and I would see things that weren't in harmony, you know, like somebody doing something wrong or somebody doing this and that. And I would just brush it under the table because I didn't want to create waves in my company. I really wanted to have my company work come from a high level of consciousness, you know? And so in those days, I think that I spent more time not trying to create waves. And so then I would always have this feeling like this suppressed expressions, or maybe I would be angry on a Monday and I would be like, you know, this is such a great place. Why don't people really, you know, resonate with working here? What I realized was that I just wasn't really doing a good job in the hiring. You know, I didn't have an MBA. I started this practice, you know, 1 year out of school. I knew nothing. And thank God I knew nothing. Otherwise I wouldn't have started it. But for 10 years, for a whole decade, I love going to work. And I did love Mondays. The last 2 years, though, things started just happening. like weird things, you know, like someone stealing my database and somebody opening up a practice and all this stuff. Then I started to realize that maybe that was the message from the universe that I needed to go more global, that I had to really start over and do something different. And I'm actually grateful for it because sometimes, you know, you have to have that in order to make change.
It's interesting that you mentioned that all these strange things started happening, like someone stealing a database and that kind of thing. And sometimes human beings, we're naturally programmed to look at something like that and we kind of switch to anger or blame or hurt. But after that happens, none of us really do anything but blame, be angry and vent about it. But you kind of took it upon yourself to be like, okay, what is this sign? I need to move along. Where did you kind of cultivate and how did you learn that kind of innate strength from Issa? Because I'm assuming you had that previously as well, or that was taught to you, or you kind of found the strength. But I'm curious to kind of figure out what your mentality or mindset was to really look at the situation and take the next step.
You know, I've done a lot of work. You know, it helps to be in New York City where there's tons of therapists. You know, that's really great. But growing up, I grew up really poor. I grew up dirt poor in the welfare system. You know, and the one thing that my mother always said is when there's something that's not going right, when there's bad, use it as an opportunity to move forward and not to hold you back. And it's funny because she's not into the mindset. She's not reading guru books. You know, she's not reading any of this. But that was one of the things that I learned from her, that she says, you know, when you get slapped down, you got to get up. You have to pay attention to these messages. You know, she would always say, you know, make lemonade from lemons. So I would say that she was the original person that taught me about lifting yourself up and seeing like the gold in the absolute dark, right? Because then you could get angry, you could get negative, you could have it squash you down, you know, and then you get an ulcer or God knows a heart attack on a Monday. But I was just being the quiet observer, the witness in my own life. And when stuff started going down, I was like, oh, I get it. This is it. You know, certain jobs, certain careers, certain visions have their lifespan. You have to evolve and change. And so I was just being slapped into making my changes. But I was afraid, you know, because I had the golden handcuffs. I was making good money, you know. Everything was great, except that I had this feeling of unrest and unhappiness, like a very low level, you know, like the kind that eats away at your soul if you don't take action.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious too, because you grew up, you said, poor in the welfare system. And I find that children or, you know, souls who grow up in that form of adversity, or I guess a mentality that's not of privilege or abundance, they really tend to come out one way or another. And I could be generalizing here, but it's really amazing that you kind of took some really important wisdom from your mother. And how has it helped you in your life so far?
I think it's helped me in every aspect of my life, you know, because the one thing is when I come into difficult situations, things that are not working, I mean, I build a whole new online business, you know, to help women heal their pelvic floors. And there was a big learning curve, you know, in that I had no idea what online business was. I just said, oh, you know, oh, I'm going to close my practice. I'm going to take my message global. And I'm going to do this online. But it's like when I first started, it's that you don't know what you don't know, right? And so, you know, I came across a lot of difficulties, a lot of wasted money, a lot of wasted time. But then I tried to take something from it so that I don't repeat the same mistakes. And then I tried to understand, you know, I understand that it's part of the process of growing, that nothing is absolutely perfect. And I put a quote today on Instagram. It's like just doing the small steps every day to the best of your ability. And if it doesn't work out, not to let you like bite you in the butt, but you know, you just got to get up and you got to keep moving. So I think it's helped me because I think that I'm not afraid of adversity. I'm not afraid of failure. I have failed many times in my life, you know. So I think that in a way, I mean, when I'm going through it, trust me, I'm not always the calmest person. You know, I am Latin after all. You don't want to see me go crazy.
So Issa, talk to me about what you do to prepare for a Monday. Obviously, it's changed over the past 2 years with you having such a huge shift in your career and how you're kind of taking your personal brand global. Tell me, what's the routines that you have to prepare for your week?
I am extremely strict. Like Sunday, I write my list out, what I have to do, and I prioritize my list. And then I have my cup of coffee. I wake up every morning, every Monday, grateful for all that I have. And the first thing that I do is I do a meditation in bed. I'm not going to get up and sit there in a yogi position. You know, I'm too tired. So I get up, you know, I lay in bed, I do my meditation. And then I always, before I get out of bed, start to tell myself what's really working and what I'm grateful for. So I do that every day, but Mondays in particular, because Mondays can throw me off, especially if you're trying to get a teenage daughter to school. You know, it's like, you're like, oh my God, you forgot your metro, you forgot your water, you know, you're running around like a maniac. So Mondays are very strict for me. I don't take early meetings on Mondays. I don't do that because I feel like it's a distraction for me. And it takes me out of my game plan, which is to really maximize the week so that I can have some really good family time and I can take care of myself and I can take care of my husband and do joyful things. So Mondays are very strict. So I start up a meditation and then I do gratitude. I don't necessarily write it down, although I have been more lately doing more of that, writing it down. I have my cup of coffee. I review my list. I have to have my cup of coffee. I don't really like to talk to anybody before I have coffee, which is, I'm like, please.
Mostly for other people's sake.
Yeah, totally. I drink coffee for other people's protection. But honestly, it's because sometimes, you know, Mondays are so sacred. And sometimes the weekend, if you had too much fun on the weekend, you know, and your Monday throws you off. And so I try to use Mondays as a way to plan for the week and be very strategic about my self-care and what is coming up in my meetings. And I don't have my team take meetings on Mondays, even though they don't listen to me, because I'm like, don't do it before, you know, get yourself together. I try to encourage them to write a list and, you know, prioritize the list, figure out what they're going to do for the week. And then the most important thing after I do that is I eat a frog.
What? You eat a frog?
I eat a frog on Mondays.
An actual frog?
Yeah, it's an expression. I've never eaten a frog before.
I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard that expression, eat a frog. I'm like, this is a different side of Latinas that I have not seen, the frog eating Latinas.
Yeah, exactly. So what I do is I look at my list and then I tackle the thing that I don't want to do, the worst thing on that list. And I do it on Monday and I eat the frog on Monday. And I'm like, okay, I really don't want to have this. I really don't want to do this. The things you have to do, but don't necessarily like to do when you're running a brand and a company. So on Mondays, after I set my day and I look at my list, then I do the most difficult things in the beginning of the week. And on Mondays, I do the most difficult thing, whether that be write a blog or call somebody or, you know, make a payment or something that I know that I'm going to be avoiding the rest of the week. And it's just going to play on my head and it might not make me as productive as possible.
So you mentioned before about doing the hard things on a Monday. And I read that the highly successful entrepreneurs tend to do the hardest tasks first when it comes to their day. They always tackle those first and cross those off their list. But I love the way that you've kind of repurposed that into the context of a Monday where you tend to tackle all the hardest tasks on Monday.
I feel like when I do that, it liberates me. I feel freer for the rest of the week to create, to go and have lunch with individuals, to have a more connective experience, you know, I'm always trying to meet people and always trying to go out for lunches and stuff like that. So I really try to do the absolute thing and try to finish it on a Monday, even if that means that I'm working 12 hours or 13 hours sometimes or even more.
Nice. Well, I say nice because it sounds like you're a complete hustler. You're working 12 to 13 hours, which is fantastic. And I also like the way that you keep it real as a businesswoman. A lot of entrepreneurs nowadays paint a picture of 6-hour days and multi-million dollars, and sometimes it may not be that case. I'm curious to know, Isa, what do you think has been the key mindset tool that you've learned in your life so far that's really helped you get to where you are today?
The key mindset tool, I would have to thank my coach, Todd Herman, for this one. You know, I used to suffer from something called trying to be perfect everything had to be just so, you know. And about when I made this whole transition into the online world, I stopped looking for perfection in everything that I do. And if it's ready to go and it's good enough, I'm going to put it out there, because it's better to take action than to be paralyzed by trying to make everything perfect. And I suffered from that for many, many years, where I would be like, oh, you know, it's not good enough. You know, of course, that probably had to do with my own inner self workings. So now I'm all about imperfect action, you know. So I think that's the biggest mindset thing that has really changed and propelled my business forward.
Unpack that for me a little bit. What do you mean by that? Is it just doing and then learning from it? What does imperfect action look like?
Well, imperfect action says, for instance, that it's not, you know, it maybe not be the perfect graphic or the perfect words for a Facebook ad, but I need to get that Facebook ad out there because I need to create a better experience for my client and for my community, or I need to bring in some cash. And if I sit there waiting for, you know, 3 hours trying to write the perfect Facebook ad with the perfect everything, it would paralyze me. So what I do now is like, you know what, I'm going to put it out there. And if it doesn't work, you know what, I'm going to write another Facebook ad and I'm going to test it, instead of being like, no, it has to say everything just perfectly and follow this formula and be so incredible that it's just going to be the one, you know. But sometimes the one is not the one. Sometimes you got to do a lot of different versions of something before you achieve your goal. So I think that that's what it looks like for me. For me, it also looks like when I do a lot of my writing and I do blogging and I do emails and I write to my community, sometimes I can just go crazy and spend like 6 hours on an email, and I just have to stop myself and say, you know what? This is a good email. This is good enough. This is not perfect, but it gets the message across. It's still quality work. And then I just put it out there.
Wow. I love that thought of imperfect action, just trying and then figuring it out on the way. I think so many of us are scared to start, and then we kind of loot. We don't start at all as a result.
No, it's true. Trust me, I've been there. I've been paralyzed by fear. Or I've been paralyzed by, you know, it's not the right message. Or I've been even paralyzed to go and introduce myself to someone at a party because I didn't have my messaging right, you know? And now I'm like, no, I'm just going to go out there and I'm just going to do the best that I can. And that's okay. It's not a bad thing.
One thing I love about reading about you too, Isa, is you've got all these multidimensional sides to yourself. I love that you are a best-selling author, you're a businesswoman, you juggle a lot of hats. And I love the fact that you are, you've written 5 books and an international bestseller, Female Pelvic Alchemy. I'm curious, it takes a lot of discipline to write a blog, let alone an entire book. So talk me through how you managed to squeeze out 5 books in your career so far and also achieve a bestseller. How did you do that in your life? Is it did imperfect action play a part?
Definitely, and played a part at the latter part when I wrote my last 2 books. And actually, when I let go, the last book became an international bestseller. The other books that I wrote, I you know, it took me forever. I mean, the way I treat everything is like I put it in the calendar, you know, and I have my whole family and we have multiple calendars. And I'm like, if it's not in the calendar, it doesn't get done. So I consider writing like an appointment, you know. Okay, I'm going to write today between the hours of 2 and 3, and I'm going to write, I wrote a blog, I'm writing something for Pregnancy Magazine, and I finished it. And I was so happy. I was like, you know what? Great. I'm going to let this go. I'm just going to put it out there. It's great. It's good. It gives good content. I'm really proud of it. But hadn't I not made that appointment with myself today, and if I would have been dilly-dallying and being distracted by social media, and even Facebook has an appointment time. Even Instagram, I make an appointment time with that, because I find, you know, one of the biggest things that I found that I think was a good thing, I was looking at Instagram and somehow, I don't even know how this happened, but it showed me that I was spending an hour a day on Instagram. I'm like, oh no, 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 that's not necessary. And so it's just like having this awareness about where do you spend your time? And so now I put it in my calendar and I'm like, I tried to stick with it. Of course, nothing is perfect, so I may have to bring it to the next day. But I really try to stick with the things that I need to do on the day that I need to do it, because if not, I'm going to get really stressed out. I'm going to have a bug out. It's not worth it for me to not be organized. You know, I like organization. I like scheduling. So when I wrote my books, I treated it like a job. Like I had to go to work and I had to write. And I gave myself a timeline too to finish the books. So I treated it like a pregnancy. I finished mostly all the books on the 9 months.
What I like about the strategy that you've taken to take action in your life is it could be as simple as, okay, I'm going to put this in my calendar to ensure that it gets done. Not only have you made that kind of a routine or a discipline for yourself, but I love the fact that you have asked your family to join you in doing things and putting it in the calendar, because it's really important to kind of let all aspects of your life merge and to ensure that time is managed that way, but also collaboratively as a group.
Oh, 100%. Listen, if it's not in the calendar, I get very upset. You know, I'm like, you know, it's not in the calendar. You have an appointment. My husband is also a musician and he runs my tech. And sometimes he forgets to put a gig in the calendar. And I'm like, well, technically you don't have that gig. You should actually cancel it. You know, but then I have to let go because a lot of people are not as strict about the calendars as I am. So we merge my daughter's calendar. We merge my husband. We merge my personal calendar, my business calendar, my launch calendar. So everybody on the team has an idea of what's going on, because I think it's important for everybody to have a collective groove together.
It's to kind of employ everyone to do the same thing and that you're moving as a unit and not separate entities. Because I mean, it could be as simple as saying to your husband or your children, here's my calendar, lock in the time. I know it sounds clinical, but it actually is the best way to ensure it gets done.
Totally. Sometimes my daughter, I mean, she's really busy with her clubs. And I say, please put your club schedule on the calendar. Not that she listens to me, but, you know, it's a work in progress. And today, for instance, she had an appointment with her calendar. And I expected her to be home at a certain time. And I was just trying to say, listen, honey, you know, this is a family unit. In order for us to cohesively work and be a great family, we need to respect each other's time. And we need to see what you're doing, you know, and what time you're going to be home. So it's a work in progress. It's working. It's a new thing with us, with this whole calendar thing. We share calendars. We have family. So it's really, really amazing. I recommend it for everybody.
Awesome. Well, Issa, I feel like there's so much I want to talk to you about. So we have to have you back on the Ginny Show, but I want to go to the key C word that you mentioned throughout this entire podcast, coffee. How do you take your coffee in the morning?
Oh, this is the hardest thing, because no one can make my cup of coffee, right? Except for my husband. I like it black with one drop of milk.
Black with one drop of milk. That's a very specific coffee order.
And no sugar.
No sugar. Okay. And it has to be made by the husband.
So he usually makes my cup of coffee in the morning. He's so good to me, you know. But when I go out to someone, I say, please don't put any milk in my coffee. Just give it to me on the side. Because most of the time they put in too much milk and it just destroys my cup of coffee. It's so annoying.
Yeah. It takes away the kick, doesn't it? I'm also wondering too, Issa, being the busy woman that you are, do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Never.
You like to keep it separate?
Yeah, I never take it to the bathroom. I take baths. I never bring my phone to the bathroom. No, absolutely not. What I'm trying to do right now is disconnect from my phone. I feel like it's another finger in my hand, you know, because you can become a prisoner of your phone and constantly feeling like you need to be connected. And today on purpose, I was like, Facebook, 30 minutes, I can answer questions. Instagram, 20 minutes, you know, and I really stuck with it. And I felt much more calmer and much more collective and so much better when I really try to disconnect from this phone, which, by the way, I run my whole business on this phone.
Wow, fantastic. Well, Issa, thank you so much for your time today and having a Monday mocha with me. We'll have to get you back on the show, but just tell the good people of the Ginny Show where they can actually find you.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on your show. I love your show. It's fantastic. And your energy is beautiful. For those who are interested, they can find me at pelvicpainrelief.com. All the information is there, all the information about my programs and what I'm doing and my blogs, everything is there. I'm an open book and on that site.
Fantastic. Well, Issa, have a wonderful day and thank you for having a Monday Mocha on the Ginny Show.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.